Friends, welcome to our worship on Sunday, the 20th of September. It's good that we can be together. Our call to worship. Generous God, your love embraces and welcomes all people. In our lives and our worship, help us to share your hospitality. Generous God, your salvation is a gift, not a reward for labour. In our lives and our worship, help us to show your generosity. Generous God, your Son taught that your kingdom is open to all. In our lives and our worship, help us to teach your message. Generous God, your Spirit is at work in the world today. In our lives and our worship, help us to live as your disciples. Amen. Friends, let us pray. For God the Father, creator of the world, we thank you. May all the people praise you, O God, may all the people praise you. For God the Son, who willingly gave up his life for us, we thank you, O God. May all the people praise you, O God, may all the people praise you. For God the Holy Spirit, who teaches us everything, we thank you, O God. May all the people praise you, O God. May all the people praise you. We thank you, gracious God, that you call us and equip us. You called us to further the work of your kingdom. Give us integrity to serve and live in your grace alone. For the times when we have not lived in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, Lord, forgive us. For the times when we have not stood firm to your kingdom values, Lord, forgive us. For the times when we have not united in the Spirit, forgive us. For the times we've heard your call but turned away from you, forgive us. For the times we have not celebrated your goodness and love, forgive us. We're sorry that we do not always listen, do not always hear, do not always obey, and we ask for discernment, courage and strength to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, Amen. Selected verses from Psalm 144. each and every day, I will bless you, God. From eternity to eternity, praise of your name will fulfill me. Glorious God, beyond our praise, great beyond compare. God is gracious, compassionate, patient, abundant in mercy, good to all and each. God's tenderness and love embraces all creation. God's ways are just. Love is the essence of God's deeds. God comes right up close to those calling out, enters into their heart to hear their pleas. Thanks be to God. Amen. We hear now from Paul's letter to those in Philippi, and Pete is going to read this for us, Philippians chapter 1. Thank you, Pete.
Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 to 30. For to me, living is Christ, and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labour for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that's far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I'm convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing. For he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well, since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have.
Pete, thank you for reminding us of Paul's letter to those in Philippi. We listen now to a song based upon that reading. Adrian Pallant sings the song, All I Once Held Dear, Knowing You, Jesus.
Righteousness, and I love you, Lord. the power of your risen life and to know you in your sufferings, to become like you in your death, my Lord, so with you to live and
friends, we're going to watch a video. It's a modern portrayal of the gospel for this morning. It's entitled The Fair Employer, after which we hear our gospel reading read to us by Pete Wildman.
The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers to trim out his blueberry field. In the springtime, it's important to get the dead wood out of the blueberry bushes. Out with the old, in with the new. The landowner agreed to pay some guys $100 for the day, and he sent them into the fields. By about 10 o'clock in the morning, he went to town to round up a few others. He found some guys and asked them if they'd like to work for the day.
My name is Eric. I've got a blueberry field down the road. Mm-hmm. Would you guys like to do some work today?
Okay.
You guys doing a good job. Start down this way.
Around 1 o'clock in the afternoon, he began to worry that the job was not going to be finished by the end of the day. So he went back to town to find a few more workers.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, you?
I'm all right. My name is Eric. I got a blueberry farm down the road.
At 4 o'clock, he went out again. He just kept hiring whoever he could find.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, come on in.
Around dusk, he went out one last time. What are you guys up to? He asked. How come you've been standing here all day long doing nothing? Because no one has hired us, they answered. Well, come on, he said. Get out to the field. I'll pay you a fair wage. The family was a bit surprised at the offer. After all, the day was almost over. But they went anyway. The landowner called his foreman over and told him to pay all the workers, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first. The workers who were hired last were paid $100. And so when those who were hired first made it to the foreman, they expected to receive more. But each of them also received $100. When they got their money, they began to gripe about it. What's up with this? These guys show up and work an hour, and you make them equal to us, who have been working all day long? But the landowner said, friends, I'm not trying to be unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for $100 a day? Take your cash. You've earned it. I just decided to give those who came at the end of the day the same amount as you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you just jealous because I'm generous?
What do you think? You want to show up tomorrow?
Heck yeah. Let's show up about 5.
Okay.
Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 16. The laborers in the vineyard. Jesus said, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock he went out and found others standing around, and said to them, why are you standing here idle all day? They said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, call the labourers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first. When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, these last worked only 1 hour, and you've made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. But he replied to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to the last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last.
Thank you, Pete, for reminding us of that gospel. Last week, we talked about trips. We talked about going on train trips and plane trips, and often our memories of those times and how good they are. We also talked about what it is to have a guilt trip. Today we're going to go on a different kind of trip. We're going to trip with children and hearing some of the things they say, and we're going to go on a journey through this passage of scripture from Matthew's gospel. Children say a variety of things in their life, and I think there are a number of phrases that we always remember. We remember when children say, I love you. And we hope that it isn't just linked to having pocket money. But there's another phrase, a phrase actually not always said by children. Sometimes we have said this in adulthood too. It's a phrase used by all children in various languages, in various contexts. It's that phrase, it's not fair. It isn't fair I can't go out to play. It isn't fair I've got to do my homework before I play on the video game. It isn't fair that I've got to eat those vegetables on my plate. It isn't fair. We have this innate sense of fairness. We're born with it. And as we grow into maturity, that sense of fairness leads us to think about justice and equality. It's not fair in our world that some people can vote and others can't. It isn't fair that some people can sit at the front of a bus and others at the back. It isn't fair that some go hungry whilst others throw a huge amount of food into landfill. it isn't fair. We can add our own statement, our own comments after it's not fair. Our innate sense of fairness can lead to a strong and life-giving sense of justice, but not always, because our innate sense of fairness tends to be somewhat egocentric. We tend to assess fairness, as the examples from childhood demonstrate, in terms of what seems fair not only to us, but also for us. We tend to measure fairness, that is, in terms of our own wants, needs, hopes, expectations, often with little or at least secondary regard for the wants and needs of others. And unfortunately, this doesn't often end with childhood. And that brings us to today's gospel reading. And before we dig a little deeper into this parable, let's look at this clip of a film, a well-known film, reminding us about fairness and grace.
Hey! Come and serve, for you are weary. And the night is cold out here. Though our lives are very humble, what we have to share. There is wine here to revive you. There is bread to make you strong. There's a bed to rest till morning. Rest from pain and rest from wrong. Bless the food we eat today. Bless our dear sister and our honored guest.
We have your silver. We caught this man red-handed.
He had the nerve to say you gave him this.
That is right. But my friend, you left so early. Surely something slipped your mind.
You forgot.
I gave these also. Would you leave the best behind? Monsieur, release him. This man has spoken true. I commend you for your duty. Now God's blessing go with you. But remember this, my brother. See in this some higher plan. You must use this precious silver to become an honest man. By the witness of the martyrs, by the passion and the blood, God has raised you out of darkness. I have saved your soul for
Victor Hugo, the author of Les Miserables, and of course also The Hunchback of Notre Dame. A reminder of grace and forgiveness is peppered through his books. He brings us to Jesus' parable about these labourers. Right up front, it's important to recognise just how tough it was to be a day labourer in Jesus' time. It's probably not much different nowadays. There are these people who wait for regular employment. And they stand out in the town square hoping that some landowner or master would stop and want extra work done and hire them. The trouble is, there are more labourers than there is labour. There's no unemployment or social service benefit. They have to earn enough money each day to pay for food for the next day. So if you're healthy, if you're lucky, you get chosen to work around 12 hours per day. And when you're done, you receive that day's wage, enough to provide for your family. If you are unhealthy or unlucky, you're passed over. You wait all day longing for someone to stop by, but return empty-handed to face the disappointed faces of those who depend on you. It's hard. It's very hard. In this parable, Jesus tells everyone is fortunate. Traditionally, this Sunday parable is named The Workers in the Vineyard, but perhaps it should be renamed The Generous Employer, because the story revolves around his actions, and the workers have their role as they're hired and as they're paid. Fundamentally, the story is really quite straightforward. The strange elements, for example, the hiring of workers at 5 o'clock and the payment of the group first, sets up the tension, the moment of encounter for this story. The payment made to each group of people is the usual daily wage, the amount a family would need to live on. It's also the amount the first workers agreed on. And this highlights that at no point during this story is the farmer, the landowner, the master unjust. Rather, he was just and generous. His justice was according to the norms of society, but his generosity was on his own terms. The first workers, those who've been working in the morning, are rude. They're abrupt. They challenge the master. But he remains polite, and he challenges back. Why let envy twist your heart because I choose to be generous? And the point of this parable is to provoke us. Where does our sympathies lie? Before God, friends, we are all poor. And when we truly understand the generosity of God to us, we will then, in turn, be generous to others. The core of this parable turns on the question, why be envious? Because I am generous. Envy is an awful habit of the heart. It's not the same as jealousy. Jealousy makes us fear that we'll lose something that's important to us. People, possessions, and we hold on to them tightly. Envy resents the good another has simply because they have it and we don't. In our delusion, another person's good fortune spoils our happiness. And envy breeds resentment, and together they make us greedy. I read of a study recently that showed that a significant component of what many people thought would make them happy was having more than the people around them. But then we go on to want more and more. They notice others who have a bit more than them, and the cycle keeps going, and we want more because we compare ourselves to different people. It's interesting, we never compare ourselves to those who are less fortunate than us. We always compare ourselves to people who are more fortunate. The cycle of envy, the cycle of resentment and the greed goes on, with people never achieving the ultimate goal, that of happiness. And central to this pursuit of happiness is a recognition of the generosity of God towards us. That wonderful phrase, count one's blessing, is truly profound and amazingly effective means in transforming our outlook on life. There are times we experience tragedy, but that isn't what stops us from being happy. What stops us is not appreciating what we already have received. And so as we become grateful, we become generous. Only when we are generous, like our generous God, will that bound of envy and resentment be overcome within our hearts. So imagine this parable in a different way. Imagine those first comers, those who'd worked in the morning, at the end of the day and seen the generosity of the landowner, said, wow, isn't that amazing? Isn't he a generous person? Isn't it wonderful that these workers are going to be able to go home and feed their family? What a very different perspective the parable would have on us and on the workers involved in this story. Isn't it great that we can all go home happy, content, because we all have enough for our needs? Who on earth would think like that? Friends, we should. Imagine how our society could operate if we responded in the same way. If that was our true guiding principle, if we treated all, especially the marginalised, with generosity. Imagine if we truly sought the rehabilitation of prisoners and the real protection of society. We wouldn't talk in terms of paying a debt to society or of punishment, but rather about being rehabilitated to live well in society. Then if those who are violent offenders don't choose to be rehabilitated, then they don't choose to live in society. How would it be if we sought to give the less abled amongst us meaningful involvement in the community? Offer work. Work they could do, even if it meant that we had to be patient and adapt to their needs. Yep, that's right. We adapt to their needs and stop expecting them to live up to our abilities. What about if we truly saw the need of asylum seekers and refugees, allowing them to be integrated and members of our society? Then we would endeavour to bring them into our local community with the offer of work, learning together from each other. I admit this perhaps sounds a bit idealistic, but isn't that our calling as Christians? We are the recipients of generosity of God, who seriously expects us to be godlike in our generosity to others. St. Catherine of Siena said, "You have only truly received a gift from God when you have given it away." This parable lays before each of us all a choice as clear as can be. When we look at our lives, do we count our blessings or our misfortunes? Do we pay attention to the areas of plenty in our lives or what we perceive we lack? Do we live by gratitude or by envy? Do we look to others in solidarity and compassion or see them only as competition? The choice is ours. Be grateful or envious. What's it going to be? Amen. A poem by Ken Rooks. Not a rule book for industrial relations, this vineyard story. It is about Grace, an eccentric employer, a generous wage. He paid them the same, the ones who worked all day long and those who came late. They grumble, the ones who laboured through the day's heat, felt badly done by. Did you not agree on the usual day's wage? That's what you received. Don't grumble at grace when it's shown to others. Celebrate with them. Is God eccentric like the man with the vineyard? Most definitely. Let us pray. We pray for all those who struggle to find regular work and for those who are overlooked. We pray for those who struggle to make ends meet because they are low paid. Living God, we pray for the coming of your kingdom when all will be rewarded for their labours with generosity. We pray for those who are looking for jobs, for those who work in job centres, and for all who offer careers advice, help and support. Loving God, we pray for the coming of your kingdom, when all will be valued for who they are, rather than what they do. We pray for those in dangerous jobs, for the emergency services, for all whose work brings them close to real dangers every day, and for all who have been injured through their work, or whose health has been adversely affected. Loving God, we pray for the coming of your kingdom when all will be safe and secure and will be healed and made whole in you. We pray for those who in their work make a difference through charity work. We think of those in our local community who provided food and solace and comfort to those during this period of isolation and lockdown. And we think of those for whom today is a struggle, for those unwell, for those weary, for those who mourn. May they know the comfort of your presence and your grace and your light. Gracious God, hear our prayers. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Friends, we listen to the hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be, sung by Adrian Pallant. Friends, thank you for joining us this morning in our act of worship. Thank you to Pete and thank you to Adrian. Our closing blessing. Gracious God, as you go before us, setting a path to follow and a purpose to fulfil, may we follow in grace and serve in love. And the blessing of God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit remain with us always. Amen. God bless you.
Our service today was led by Reverend Jackie Belfield. Adrian Pallant produced all the music, and the readings were by Pete Wildman.